Okay, let's pick up with the Mishnah, the first Mishnah in Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, "Hashofich mayim b'rishus harabim." If a person pours out water into the rishus harabim, v'huzik ben achren, and someone else gets damaged as a result of those waters. It's not clear exactly how he got damaged, but somehow he got damaged as a result of those waters. Chayiv b'nizko. So the person who poured out the water is going to be liable for those damages. Point two in the Mishnah, Hamatznia es hakotz. If a person stows thorns or broken pieces of glass, v'hagoderes gidro bekotzim, if a person makes his fence out of thorns, v'gedr shenafal l'rishus harabim, or a fence that fell, a wall, a fence that fell into rishus harabim, v'huzku behen acherim, and other people got damaged as a result of these things, as a result of the person stowing his thorns or glass pieces, or as a result of the fence that he made around his yard that was made out of thorns, or as a result of the fence that fell into the rishus harabim. So if others got damaged as a result of these things, chayv b'nizkan, the person who stowed the thorns and the glass, or the person who made his fence out of thorns, etc., are liable for their damages. And it's not 100% clear what all these cases are. So let's go through. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav. Rav told us, Lo shanu ela de nitnifu kelo b'mayim. In the first case of the Mishnah, we said that if a person spilled out water, he pours out water into the rishus harabim, and someone else gets damaged as a result of those waters, so the person who poured out the water is going to be liable. So Rav qualifies that case. He says that specifically, Lo shanu ela de nitnifu kelo. What kind of damage are we talking about? That is discussed, that's teaching us only where his kalim, where his clothing got damaged, got dirtied up, by means of the water that you spilled out into the rishus harabim. Aval hu atzmo, but if the person walking in the rishus harabim just slipped on the waters and got hurt that way, pater. So then the person who spilled out the waters into the street is going to be pater for those damages. In other words, so Reuven spills out water into the rishus harabim, Shimon slips on the water, as a result, Shimon hurts himself when he falls on the ground, and his clothing gets all dirty. So we say, so Rav is explaining that Reuven is going to be liable to pay for the dry cleaning bill. He's going to have to pay for the dirty for the clothing that got dirty. He's not going to have to pay for the fact that Shimon got hurt. Why? Karka olam hisikasu, because it's the ground that damaged him. It's not Reuven's water that damaged Shimon's physical body. So Amar Reuven al Rav. So Reuven says to Rav, Lo ye ala karifsho. Well, wait a second. It should be really no different than his refish, than his mud. Meaning to say, the assumption that we're saying right now, the way the Rashi explains it, is that if Reuven would throw out fertilizer into the middle of the rishus harabim, and he's just putting it out there, he's not being mafkarit, he's just putting it out into the street. So if someone else got hurt as a result of that fertilizer that he left out in the street, Reuven would be liable. So similarly, if Reuven has a bunch of mud in the middle of the street and somebody else got hurt as a result of that mud, Reuven would be liable. So similarly over here, when Reuven pours out water into the street, and the assumption is that there's dirt on the ground, and the water mixes together with the dirt forming a mud, so Reuven should be liable for all the damages that happen as a result of that mud. So says the Gemara, so what's the response to Ravuna's question? Mi savart de lo tamu maya? Do you think that we're talking about where the water is not finished, meaning to say that the water is not totally absorbed into the ground? Bidatamu maya, we're talking about over here specifically where the water finished up, meaning to say got absorbed entirely into the ground, and there's no mud over here. It's just totally absorbed in the ground. Okay, so the Gemara says, well, wait a second. Vitarti lamali, why do I need two? Meaning to say as follows. We know that Rav, when he gave shir regarding the Mishnah in Baba Kama Dav Chav Ches Manav that we had a couple daf ago, that was the case of where someone's kad broke in the Rishus Harabim, and as a result, somebody slips on the water, or someone gets injured as a result of the shards lying around. So we said in the Mishnah, you're chayiv. So Rav qualified that case. He said, well, how exactly did this fellow get hurt? How did he get damaged? So Rav says it specifically that you're liable to pay for the dry cleaning bill as a result of the water, dirtying up his clothing. You're not liable to pay for the injury that he himself suffered when he slipped on the water. So it seems like Rav is saying the same halacha twice because he understands, or the way that he understands the Mishnah, is that the Mishnah is saying the same halacha twice. So why would we need two of the same halacha? V'tarti lamali. So it says the Gemara, Chadabi Masa Chama V'chadabi Masa Kasham, because they're talking about two different times of the year. One is talking about during the Masa Chama, during the summer, and one is talking about Masa Kasham, during the winter. And so the Chiddush then is, as Rashi explains, is that you have a right, we're going to discuss this in the Gemara, during the winter months, you have a right to put these things out into the Rosh Hashanah. And Afal Pi Kein, you're going to be liable if somebody else gets hurt. The Tanya, as we learn in the Braisa, Kol Elu Sha'amru Poskin Bibosein, the Garfin Ma'ar Sein, all these, where we say that normally you're not allowed to create hazards in the middle of Rosh Hashanah. However, there are certain circumstances in which you are allowed to put a hazard, so to speak, in the middle of the Rosh Hashanah. So all these that they said, which generally speaking, where Chazal tell us that it is permitted to put out some sort of a hazard into the Rosh Hashanah, so we say, Kol Elu Sha'amru Poskin Bibosein, V'garfin Ma'ar Sein, that you're allowed to open up your pipes, meaning to say you are allowed to open up the sewage pipes to let the sponge of water, let's say, be channeled out into the street, or to scoop out Ma'arosein. The literally a Ma'ar is like a pit. These are obviously these cisterns or deep pits that they kept schmutz in, maybe sewage of some sort. So when we say that you're allowed to open up your gutter pipes, your sewage pipes, essentially to channel them into the street, that's not during the summer season. But during the winter, then they have permission to do that. But even though you have a right to do that, if they damage somebody, you're going to be liable to compensate for those damages. And so that's the chiddush over here, is that during one mishnah is discussing during the summer, and one mishnah is discussing during the winter. That during the winter, even though you have a right to channel these things, to dump these things out into the street, if somebody else gets hurt as a result of the thing that you dumped out into the street, you're liable to compensate. It's an interesting halacha. What does it mean exactly that you have a right to do this if you're going to be liable for compensation? Okay. It's a discussion. Fine. So now, that was the first case in the Mishnah, where we said that if a person spills out water into the Rosh Hashanah and someone else gets hurt, you're going to be liable for the damages. And Rav qualifies that statement. So now, the next part of the Mishnah said, if you stowed thorns or glass, which according to Rashi that we saw before, is you're stowing them in the middle of the Rosh Hashanah, or if you fence, you make a fence around your yard using thorns, and that's adjacent to the Rosh Hashanah, or you have a fence that collapses into the Rosh Hashanah, and someone else gets hurt as a result of these things, you're liable. So now the Gemara explains as follows. Rav Yochanan said, Loshanu elabam afriach. When we say that if you make a fence out of thorns, and somebody else, and I guess your fence is adjacent to the Rosh Hashanah, so somebody else gets hurt as a result of those thorns, so Rav Yochanan qualifies this point, and he says, Lo Shano, when do we say that you're going to be liable for the damages? That's El Mafriach. That's only where it is literally like Mafriach, where you cause it to fly, meaning to say that the thorns are jutting out into the Rosh Hashanah and poking out. So that's why you're going to be liable. Aval Mitzamtzem Lo. But if you constrict it, if you constrict the thorn so that it's within your property and it's flush, maybe against the Rosh Hashanah, so then you're not going to be liable. My time, a putter. So why would you be putter exactly? Rav Achbari, Rav Ika. So Rav Achbari, Rav Ika explained, he said, because it's not the norm for people to brush up against the walls when they are walking in the Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so now the Gemara continues and says, Tanarbanim, we learned in the following Braisa, the Tosefta, in the second parak, the Tosefta tells us as follows, Hamatznia kotzosav uzechuchiyosav lesoch kosos shachaver. What happens if Reuven stows his thorns or his pieces of glass in the wall of his friend Shimon? So now Reuven stows his glass, his thorns in Shimon's wall. Then Shimon, the owner of the wall, comes. He knocks down the wall, he renovates the wall. And the wall falls into the Rosh Hashanah. And the thorns and the glass that were in it now damage people. People get hurt as a result. Chayev Amatznia, the person who stowed those things in the wall, so Reuven who stowed his thorns and his glass in the wall, he's going to be the person who's going to be liable. So Rav Yochanan comes along and he qualifies that point that the Braisa makes. Lo shanu ela b'kosa ru'ua. Under what circumstances do we say that Reuven is going to be liable for stowing the things, his thorns and glass in Shimon's wall? We say he's going to be liable when we're dealing with a kosa ru'ua, a shaky, rickety wall. Avol b'kosa bari, but if we'd be dealing with a healthy wall, a sturdy wall, hamatznia pater. So then Reuven, the person who stowed the thorns or glass in the wall, is going to be pater v'chai v'alakosel, and the owner of the wall is going to be liable. So why is this? Why does it make a difference if it's a shaky wall or a not shaky wall? So Rashi explains, because if it's a shaky wall, then the person who stowed his items, Reuven who stowed his items in that wall, it should have occurred to him that the wall is ready to be knocked down. And so maybe his items are going to ultimately result in somebody getting hurt or damaged. But if the wall is not a rickety, shaky wall, so then when Reuven stows his things in the wall, there's nothing that he has to be nervous about, that the wall is going to be renovated. But when Shimon knocks down the wall, so Shimon should have taken those things and he should have stowed them somewhere else. And so therefore, because he didn't, he is liable for the damages that resulted. So now Ravina takes a look at this memra, and he says as follows, Zosamer, so clearly, what do you see from here? This tells us, if a person covers up his pit using the lid of his friend, so Reuven uses Shimon's lid in order to cover over his pit, and then the owner of the lid, so Shimon comes along, and he takes his lid, he needs the lid back. So Reuven used Shimon's lid to cover over Reuven's pit. Now Shimon needs his lid back, so he takes it off, exposing the pit. Then somebody else gets hurt as a result of that pit. Who's going to be liable? So Chai Balabor, the owner of the pit, is going to be liable. So says the Gemara, Pshita. Of course the owner of the pit is going to be liable. Now wait a second, before we get to that point in the Gemara, how did Ravina see this from our case? How is this comparable to our case? So this is the same thing. When a person stows his thorns in somebody else's wall, that's kind of like the pit. Right, that's the pit, and now the pit is being, so to speak, covered up. It's in the wall, it's in the shaky wall of his friend. His friend renovates the wall, he pulls off the lid from the pit. So now the person who's going to be liable is the owner of the pit. So it should have occurred to him that the owner of the lid is going to take off the lid from the top, from the cover of his pit. So the Gemara says, Pshita, isn't that obvious? It's the exact same halacha. What exactly is Ravina being mechadish here? So ma'ad to say ma, so what would you have thought to say? Hasam hu delo hava yadale delo de'e. Over there, it's a different story. Reuven has a wall that he has around his yard, and Shimon randomly, some random person, who stows things in his wall as he's walking in the street. So Reuven doesn't know Shimon, so he wouldn't know him to be able to inform him about what he's doing. Aval hacha, but over here, the yadalei, he knows him. Reuven is the owner of the pit. Shimon knows Reuven very well. He takes the lid off of Reuven's pit, etc. Aval hacha, the yadalei, havalei l'dolotie. So he should have told him what he was going to be doing, so that he should come and, you know, so he didn't know to inform him. In the case of the wall, right? In the case of the wall, he didn't know who exactly to tell. The person who stowed random thorns, random glass in his wall, he didn't know who it was, so he couldn't tell him. But over here, the owner of the delete knows the pit owner very well, so he should have told him. So now Ravina's telling you no. So Kamashulan, that's Ravina. What Ravina's concluding is that Afal Pikein, the owner of the pit, is going to be liable. Okay, the Gemara says, Tanar banan chasidim arishonim, the first pious ones, meaning the earlier generations who were much more pious. So chasidim arishonim hayimatsniim kotzaseim uzuchuchioseim, what would they do with their thorns and their glass shards when they were done with them? They would stow them b'soch sadoseim in their fields, u'ma'amikin lahan gemol tfachim, and they would deepen them, in other words, they'd bury them in the ground 3 tfachim deep, so that it wouldn't hold back the machresha, the plow. Rav Sheshet, so they were so pious, they wanted to make sure that nothing would get ruined. The Ushami is a slightly different understanding, where it's that they were concerned that the plow would bring up the shards and people would get hurt as a result. So Rav Sheshes Shadalu Benura, Rav Sheshes would actually throw them in the furnace, in the fire. Rava Shadaluhu Bedeglas. Rava would take those things and he'd throw them into the Deglas, the Chidako, the Tigris River. Okay, now, Amar of Yehuda, Haiman Debaila Mahava Chasida, a person who wants to be a chassid, who wants to be pious, Lakai Mila de Nazikin, make sure to fulfill the matters of Nazikin, of damages. Should be careful in the world of Nazikin. Rava, or Ravina, some have, Amar Mila de Avos, you should be careful about the matters of Avos. And Va'amilan, some say Mila de Brachos, the matters of Brachos. Okay, so just to summarize what we did over here, in this Gemara and this Mishnah, the Mishnah tells us if you pour water into the Rishus Haram and someone else gets hurt as a result of those, someone gets damaged as a result of those waters, you're going to be liable for the Nezek, for those damages. Rav explains that the liability is specifically for his clothing getting dirtied up, but not for the damages that his body physically endures. So Ravina said, why is this any different than mud? She said, because mud is, the water is not totally absorbed into the ground. Here the water is totally absorbed into the ground. So why do we need two cases? And isn't this the same point that we made in the Mishnah Nav Chav Ches? We said, no, it's not the same thing. One Mishnah is discussing during the summer, one Mishnah is discussing during the winter. During the winter, you have a right to pour these things in the middle of the Rishus HaRabim, but even so, if someone gets hurt, someone gets damaged, you're still going to be liable. Now, the next part of the Mishnah says, if you stow thorns or glass, and someone gets hurt as a result of those thorns or glass, which according to Rashi means you're stowing them in the middle of Rishus HaRabim, or if you fence up a fence, if you make a fence around your yard, which is adjacent to the Rishus HaRabim, so you make a fence out of thorns, and someone else gets hurt, you're going to be liable. So Rav Yochanan explains that's only, though, if the thorns were so to speak, flying, meaning to say they weren't right constricted within your field. But if they were constricted, then you'd be putter. Why would you be putter? Because it's not normal. It's not the norm for people to brush up against walls as they're walking in the street. Now, the final point of the Mishnah, well, before that, we have a Tosefta. The Tosefta says that if you store thorns or glass in somebody else's wall, and now the person who owns the wall knocks down his wall, and those items, the glass, the thorns, go into the Rishus HaRabim, they fall into the Rishus HaRabim, and someone else gets hurt or damaged, the person who stowed the thorns is going to be liable. So Rav Yochanan qualifies, well, that specifically if it's a shaky wall, because then the person who stowed his thorns or glass there should have anticipated that the wall was ready to be knocked down. But if it's a perfectly healthy wall, then the person who stowed the items there is not going to be chayiv. The person who knocked down the wall is going to be chayiv. Now Ravina comes in and he says, oh, so what do you see from here? You see that if Reuven covers over his pit using Shimon's dili, his cover, and then Shimon comes and takes the dili, so the person who's going to be liable if someone gets hurt as a result of that bar is going to be the pit owner. So isn't that obvious? So the Gemara says, no, because you might have thought that he should have told him, because Reuven and Shimon are good friends. Maybe he should have told him. So the Gemara ends off saying that the Chasidim Harishonim used to stow their thorns and glass pieces in their fields and deepen them in the ground. They would dig them into the ground, 3 tefachim, so that they wouldn't block the machresha, the plow, from getting through. Rav Sheshes used to throw them in the fire. Rava used to throw them into the Tigris. And the final point that we say is that Rav Yehuda walks in and he tells us, if you want to be pious, make sure to fulfill matters of Nezikin. Rava or Ravina says you should be careful to be Mekayim Avos, the matters of Avos, and some say that it's really the matters of Brachos that you're supposed to fulfill. Okay, let's hold here.